Hi, Sander. How are you? And what are some of the best ways to handle rejection?
Well, so that's a very good question. I think next to being involved with the death of a loved one, I think rejection comes number two, having to deal with it. It's been tough, very difficult to serious rejection. It's tough to take, but, you know, leaders, true leaders, have the drive and ability to bounce back from a setback with really, really, you know, energy, which you must have in order to fight this off. So I'll tell you a personal story about rejection. Unfortunately, I really grew up with a great mentor. My mom was always a wonderful mentor. So anyway, there isn't one of us who hasn't felt the painful sting of rejection. You know, sometimes it's part of the human condition. Anyone who says they haven't been through it is either acutely neurotic, suffering from chronic amnesia, or is in total denial. And of course, I've met people like that, and you have, I'm sure. Why then must we take it so personally? Well, biology for one. Scientists, this is some research that I've done myself. Scientists at UCLA have demonstrated that the brain's response to rejection is the same as the reaction to actual physical pain. The pain is real, and we all feel it. The difference is in how we deal with it. As you know, Henry Wadsworth Longworth has said, the famous quote, "Into each life some rain may fall," end quote. Yet even through a hailstorm, we must carry on. You know, the hailstone bouncing away, their sharp bites lessening with time. So a person who is rejected is forced to make some emotional choices. The easy choice is to get angry and hole up somewhere with a vodka or two, feeling sorry for yourself. And of course, the depression sets in there very, very quickly. Another option is to reflect on the rejector, gradually diminishing her or him as ignorant, naive, misinformed, dumb, and then climb to a better place and make something good happen. Said another way, winners take a deep breath. Winners and leaders, of course, Jill. They take a deep breath, bounce back, relaunching with boundless energy. When faced with rejection, we must act decisively and with enthusiasm at the earliest opportunity. So with me, the Letterly experience, the company that I loved and I was with for 18 years, could not understand why I wasn't being moved up a lot quicker. You know, I built the biggest vaccine group, you know, nationally. The first measles, pneumonia, vaccine, influenza. That was me. We all built it and made it happen. But yet, you know, nothing happened. People who I felt were less talented than me were getting the promotions over me. And so finally, the Wyeth acquisition happened, and I left the company. I didn't want to stay there running the Latin America division, so I got recruited by the advertising agency, the French media company, as you heard before, called Havas. So moved into Manhattan, and Christmas Day, I get a call from a man I really liked a lot, the senior vice president of Letterly, who resigned. George Bywater, what's his name? He says, "Sandra, I really need to see you." I said, "George, I'd love to see you, but it's snow is coming down like crazy. I live in Manhattan now. I got to go over the Tappan Zee Bridge." I said, "Sandra, I don't know how much longer I have to live. I have a case of prostate cancer in stage 4. So please, and I'm moving to Florida this week. I need to see you." I get in the car, drive in the snow over the Tappan Zee Bridge to Hong Lok on Route 59, the Letterly place, and there's a martini on the table waiting for me. And he said, "I got to tell you, Sandra, why you didn't get the big job." There was a guy on our board I don't want to mention his name. There's a guy on our board who told us that stuttering is a manifestation of mental illness, and we can't promote Sandra. It's just not going to work for us. And I left the board a week after that. I thought you left, George, because of your illness. No, I left it because of that. Anyway, had another martini. God knows how many martinis I had after listening to that and how I got back to the city in the rain and in that terrible snow over the Tappan Zee Bridge. I'll never know, but I got back. And it really hit me big time, this rejection, major rejection after being there for 18 years and making all these good things happen for them. The revenue curve was always above quota. And I sat in my apartment trying to reflect on this thing, and I decided, going back to the mentorship of my mom, that I was going to be more successful than anybody there. I had to be. So, Havas, I recruited some wonderful people for Havas, all my great, great clients, and we were able to build Havas eventually in 15 years to number two in the world. And I did become more successful than there was, because it was a matter of overcoming the rejection. And that's really key. A great example of rejection that all of us are aware of is the nation's greatest heroes to me, Abraham Lincoln, a man who was defeated in a race for the Illinois General Assembly and the U.S. Senate, as well as failing in a bid for his party's vice president nomination before becoming the 16th president of the United States. So decades into his career, he still considered himself a failure in comparison with the man he would ultimately defeat for the presidency, fellow Illinoisian, Stephen Douglas. But it was Lincoln's perseverance and integrity that carried him through the numerous setbacks and personal attacks, underlined, by the way, the words perseverance and integrity. Lincoln had a number of obstacles to overcome. He had neither looks, as we know, formal education, nor money. He was called a horrid-looking wrench, in quotes, and a zoological curiosity by the newspaper men of the day. He suffered brutal criticism of his administration and his personal character from detractors on both sides of the Mason-Dixon line, as well as members of his own cabinet, if you remember. Long tormented by his own melancholy and such torrents of criticism, he nevertheless stayed true to the course and his vision to preserve the Union. Abraham Lincoln, frequently named the greatest of all American presidents, persevered in the face of the most cruel rejection. So that's a good example. I mean, Abe Lincoln, God bless him, may he rest in peace forever. A great example of overcoming it. You don't give up. You just don't give up. You can stay depressed for a day. That's it, okay? For a day. Then you come up with a plan to move on and show the rejectors how dumb they've been. So a little bit about rejection.
And I think that, people, it's important to let it sit for a little bit, just so that you are, let's just say, in the driver's seat about what you do, instead of just, and it's very difficult, but it's also part of life. And and therefore knowing how to handle it is part of life.
And, but I think for our listeners out there today to understand that you can only let it go, you only get that horrible rejection go for a day or two, okay? Drink the martini, move on. You must move on and come up with a better plan and surround yourself. You can't do it by yourself most of the time, but you surround yourself with great mentors, as I did back then.
Right, and you get advice. All I mean is, you try not to react in the first 4 seconds.
Correct.
You know, what's happened is people's time, the younger you are, the more collapsed your time frame is. And
correct.
So that's yes, you don't wait for a month.
Right.
You don't wait for a week, but you right. just you let it settle. Ideally, you talk to your mentors.
Yep.
And you figure out what you want to do.
Right.
But it has to be all I'm plumping for is measured and deliberate instead of just reactive,
yeah.
because you don't necessarily yeah. Handle things. You don't get a do-over in
Correct.
The same way if you just throw your hands up and go storming out right. with tears.
Jill, I just want to underscore one point you just made. No matter what your age, you always should have a mentor, always. Someone to bounce things off who is smart as hell and is thinking about you, not themselves, but thinking about you with good common sense. I mean, I canceled my subscription to the New York Times with a great mentor. I just couldn't continue reading about, you know, the cartoon, the Netanyahu-Trump cartoon, and the fact that the story of the Poway shooting in California, the sink in California, ran on page 24 of the New York Times. 24.
And this I have to interrupt, because the thing that is amazing is, it seems to me, this is a direct fallout of getting rid of human beings and editors who know what to do when there's something. You know, exactly. if you are using computers to judge what's important, your algorithms will fail you.
Exactly.
They just will. And I'm sorry to say this, my opinion, but taking action such as canceling a subscription to show that people, you got to show that what happened was wrong. If you don't, just a random complaint email just goes to the reader center.
Exactly. Well, hopefully they'll lose a lot of the circulation. Sunday night there was a massive, massive group of people protesting outside the New York Times headquarters. So where is the big apology from the big editors there? They approved it. Where is the apology? I don't get it. So
no,
I cancel my subscription.
Nor are you seeing pictures of the big protest. Yeah, it's like, no, gee, nor is that making the news.
Yes.
What a surprise. Quel choc, as we say.
A shock. So anyway, let's get some thought to that, to the rejection. It hits everyone in time. Maybe I want you to think about this show and ways to overcome it, but get that mentor into your life. Very important.
Thank you very much, Sander Flaum, Leader's Edge.
Have a great day, Jill.